On today's episode of Titus and Tate, we are talking about Scott Drew. Tate,
wow.
Scott Drew's going to win a trophy this year at long last. We just got done watching Baylor beat Kansas by 8. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest 8-point blowouts I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. Baylor dominated from start to finish and won by 8 because there's a banked in 3 at the buzzer. But yeah.
I will say one of our listeners, and I will not say their name, they reached out to me and they said that Scott Drew won the 2013 NIT. We keep saying he has not won anything, but he did win the NIT. So we need to correct that.
All right.
And we will moving forward. So there you go, Coach Drew.
What I mean, I guess he won at Valpo too. I think they won a conference tournament.
Yeah. So who are we to say Scott Drew is a winner?
Whatever. We're gonna talk about Baylor Kansas a little bit. Also going to talk about the defending national champions are back, Tate.
Mm.
Virginia.
Yes. Yeah,
you need to make sense of the ACC because also tonight, Florida State smacked Louisville. A week ago, I asked you what's going on in the ACC, and you're like, well, it looks like Louisville and Clemson might be all right.
Mm-hmm.
They both took mm-hmm. massive L's at home.
Yeah.
Clemson to Virginia, Louisville to Florida State tonight. Is Tate explaining the ACC going to be a segment on the show?
Every single week, I'll do my best to explain it. And then the opposite will happen, and then we'll all figure it out. You know.
Also in the ACC, Duke and North Carolina. Unranked.
They're out. They're out.
Unranked.
1982. Long time.
What else? Oh, the barn is magic. We're going to talk about that.
We were right. We called
the barn. As it turns out, Michigan might not be tier one. They might be tier 1.4, 1.3. Mm. I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to suss that out.
Mike DeCourcy still has him number one, though. I like
that.
Does
he really?
Yeah.
It's a one seed in the bracket?
Yeah, it's a one seed. Michigan, number one.
Interesting.
Strong move.
There's a ton to get to. We're going to talk good guys. We're going to talk bad guys coming up. But first,
Woody Durham.
He takes the timeout.
All right, before we get going here, Tate, we have to talk about what's going on and around us as we're.
This is our version of the Truman Show now. We are breaking the fourth wall. Uh-huh. We are in a studio. You and I have been staring at a computer screen of the other person talking virtually for quite some time. We've seen each other about 3 or 4 times on random weekends, you know, when we watch football or something. But for the most part, we've been separate. But today, we're at a table together talking about basketball. What a joy.
We linked up in Asheville. But yeah, I mean, we said this on the last show. We said I thought we were going to be in the Die Hard building. As it turns out, we're not in the Die Hard building. We are in...
No, they would never let us in.
I don't want to give too much away. I saw Cletus, the football-playing robot, down in the lobby. So that was exciting for me. But we are back live in a studio. And it's very strange, Tate. I'll just say that I'm used to looking at my computer, and as you said off the air, your face is pixelated. The audio dropped for like 2 seconds.
I'm not sure if the joke was bad or you just didn't hear it. It's that weird moment where I'm sitting there and I'm like alone. So it's good to be around people.
We are not in the Die Hard building, though. I just wanted
yeah,
to
reiterate that
reiterate
for the people
that,
at home. We apologize.
Is Die Hard 5 us? Are they up to 5 now? Is it 6?
I don't know. Too many.
Is it us trying to break into the Die Hard building? Is that it? Is that like the new?
I think Cousin Sal did that as a bit for show. Yeah.
Sal did it.
Yeah. I think it was for Lock It In, though, so we're past that. We're Fox Bet Live now, so we can pull it back.
All right, let's talk about what we just got done watching, which is Baylor, as I said at the top, beat Kansas in what felt like an 8-point blowout. I don't know. If you watch the game, that makes sense to say it that way. If you didn't watch the game and you check the score, you're like, how does that make any sense? Baylor jumped out to – they led from start to finish, did they not? I mean, it looked early – like Baylor was going to run away and win this thing by 30, 40 points. Like, honestly, that sounds ridiculous to say out loud, but also that's been happening a lot in college basketball this year. Like Wisconsin getting blown out at Michigan. And what are some other ones that
Wisconsin blowing out Louisville.
Wisconsin blowing out Louisville. Texas went to Kansas and blew out Kansas. It felt like it was going to be one of those games where it was like a 25-30, whatever point win. It ultimately, Kansas hung around, fought back, clawed back. But I think... The big takeaway point that Baylor is every bit as good as Gonzaga still resonated, right? Like that's still are you on board with that? Because that was kind of the certainly at halftime. Like what we saw, if you're following along on Twitter, which God bless you if you are, that seemed to be like the sentiment. Everyone's like 1A is Gonzaga, 1B is Baylor. Mm-hmm. We've known this for a while, but Baylor hasn't played quite as tough of a schedule. That's obviously going to get flipped here as Baylor gets into the meat of the Big 12 schedule. Gonzaga's playing WCC. So as Baylor starts playing these games against teams like Kansas, and they're looking every bit as good as they've looked every step of the way this season, that becomes the talking point. It's like, oh, it really is Baylor and Gonzaga versus the world. Like, it seems like we thought it was at the start of the year.
Yeah, and Jay Billis at the end of the game, he starts talking about these big picture ideas for this entire season and undefeated teams. Obviously, we have six left. We have been doing the undefeated update. We have six teams that are left that are undefeated. But Gonzaga is the team that still has a chance to actually go undefeated. We all expect Baylor at some point to trip up. In this game, Kansas made a little run in the second half. They had a nice little 9-0 run, and there was, you know, that moment in time where you say, oh my God, has Scott Drew ever won anything? And then you remind yourself, yes, he won the 2013 NIT. They're going to win this game. And Jared Butler hit a big three there. You know,
boy, he hit a lot of big threes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think he made his first seven in the game.
Yeah.
Ends up having 30
hates
points.
Kansas, that guy. he always
he's right
plays
there.
Like that.
There you go, Jared Butler. Yeah.
What about that? hey, Jared. He always plays well against Kansas. He was on fire early and often in this one.
Kansas, speaking of Kansas, they've lost back-to-back Big 12 games for the first time in 8 years. You know, we used to joke that we should call this Kansas's conference because they own the Big 12. I think 15 of the last 16 they have won in the Big 12. But tonight it felt like, for the first time, Baylor, I mean, they were the big brother, you know?
Yeah,
and they
dude,
were talking about Baylor's recruiting class for next year. We're talking about Scott Drew actually being a good coach.
Yeah, I don't like that.
This is good news for Baylor, you know, Baylor dude, Bears fans are finally in.
Texas could save us, though, because as I make clear on the show all the time, mm-hmm. I cheer for content more than anything else. And it is good content that Scott Drew continues to have top five teams or teams that are every bit as good as any other team in the country. And then ultimately, there's nothing to show for it. And I guess at a certain point, it starts to like not be funny, and it's just like, all right, we got to get this guy a trophy. Or I don't know if we're there yet, though. Mm-hmm. It's still like funny to me. It was still funny to me that Baylor had one of the best teams in the country last year and did not win the Big 12. And then the Big 12, that part wasn't really funny that the tournament got canceled. But that basically they have nothing to show for last year. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
That's like a little funny. And it would be funny to me.
And on the flip
year.
Side, Kansas, as we know, has a lot to show because they were the 2020 national champions, as they have let the world know multiple times. So,
I guess, is it worth, in your mind, we're going to keep having these same conversations as
the Big 12 unfolds.
Big 12 unfolds, which is it worth sussing out who's better between Gonzaga and Baylor? Is it worth discussing, should Baylor be a number one? I saw this week in the AP poll, Baylor picked up a first place vote. They've had one for a while.
Yep.
It started out, I think the preseason was very even, and then Gonzaga, obviously, their schedule's front loaded, and they look great immediately. And then from then, it's basically been Gonzaga's had all but one or two of the first place votes. And I saw this week, some voter out there said, I've seen enough. I'm putting Baylor ahead
of
Gonzaga.
We're about 3 weeks away from Gonzaga is playing their schedule and everyone forgets about them. And Baylor, you know, is beating up the Big 12. Mm-hmm. Everyone, you and I are saying, well, is the Big 12 the best conference? Or at least the, you know, the most top heavy conference that we have in college basketball. And then we say, is Butler actually better than Gonzaga right now? Are they actually more battle tested? I mean, Butler. Jared Butler will be more battle tested at that point. But that's where we're going to get to. And that's Gonzaga every single year. And we know that. So we'll just get ahead of it.
Yeah, the game to circle, I'm calling it, is February 2nd when Baylor goes to Texas. I don't think they have to blow Texas out. I don't think it has to be even what it was tonight against
I will
Kansas.
Say on the record, Texas is still, in my opinion, the best team in the Big 12. As far as March.
Okay. Nice
as far as the tournament.
So with that being said then, if Baylor goes to Texas, wins by 9, leads the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
Is Baylor your number one? That's not enough.
That's
still
not
enough.
It has to be what Texas did to Kansas. That's what Baylor has to do to Texas.
I think the thing for me is that Gonzaga still passes the eye test a little better than Baylor, just because it's not because I'm lazy and stupid, although those are true. But it's not just that Gonzaga's, you know, obviously Gonzaga's an offensive minded team. Baylor's more of a defensive minded team, even though Baylor's offense is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's more that Gonzaga has talent. Gonzaga has arguably their three best players are better than, you know, Baylor fans would argue Jared Butler's better than Timmy or Kispert or whatever, but NBA scouts would probably say otherwise.
Yeah,
that Gonzaga has three guys. Like Gonzaga, to me, when you watch Gonzaga, it feels like they are playing like an NBA team. Not that they could beat NBA teams. I'm just saying, like, you watch the field. I brought up the point before that they, like, even when, like, we've seen Gonzaga down, in recent games, Gonzaga has, like, against St. Mary's, I think they had like 11 points 10 minutes into the game, and they were unfazed. They don't care. They don't even look at the scoreboard. They're like, let's just run our stuff. It's going to overtime. It's going to work out. They play like they're an NBA team. Mm-hmm. They don't even think about
mistakes. Yeah. They're never out of phase.
Baylor, to me, plays like a really, really great, I'll say great, college basketball team, but still has like the makeup, the DNA of a college basketball team. Gonzaga looks and plays like an NBA team. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it makes sense in my brain.
I think it makes sense as well, because you also saw in the second half Baylor turn into a bit of a college basketball team. When they get a little messy, they have the turnovers. You can see the flaws in a tournament game where they can, you know, let things get out of hand, and they were up 17. Oh my God, like an Adam Morrison moment. Like, we were up big in this game and we've just blown it away, and I can't believe that. And Jared Butler's crying on the court. Like, I can see that more than a Gonzaga, who seems, like you said, unfazed. They seem unbothered, and they're obviously the best team in the country. We will not get off that. We will let Gonzaga have that for the rest of the year, even as the media tries
to spin.
You think
so, for the rest of the year?
I think you and I are going to stay on Gonzaga as the best team. Dude. No matter what, I will say that.
Yeah,
we're not going to change. We're not going to pivot.
I don't know. I mean, I say that now, but like, you look up on March 1st and Baylor's still undefeated, and they swept West. I don't know what their schedule is, but like say they've swept West Virginia and they swept Texas Tech, and they. I don't know. I do have this controversial opinion. I am.
Where's Andy Katz? We need the tiers. Give us the
tiers. I do not want Baylor and Gonzaga to reschedule the game that they were supposed to play. That's controversial to say. Everyone is now trying to figure out, let's get this regular season game done. I don't want it to happen.
Save it for March.
Save it for March,
yeah,
right?
Save it for the final.
Save it for April.
Yeah. We hope.
Save it for April. One name we have not mentioned in all of our talking about this is Chamwa Chichua. Jonathan Chamwa Chichua. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
It feels right. Dan Shulman entered the Georgie Bashanishvili.
He just kept saying
zone,
he
just kept saying Chamwa Chichua.
Robbie Hummel, Bashanishvili, that's his favorite. Just keeps saying it.
And
over
I just
and
wanted
over.
To acknowledge
Not
that.
Not even involved in the play, just brings him up.
I think we've reached that point in the season where in Baylor's season where the announcers have reached that point with Chamwa Chichua, where they're just going to. No matter what he does, if he's out there, they're just going to say his name over and over.
I was going to say, the encouraging part of this game, it felt like the announcer, everyone was talking about the future of Baylor, you know, and obviously the present right now, they are one of the two best teams in the country, but we're talking about the recruiting class. We're talking about, you know, the culture that we have at Baylor and what they've been able to build. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is very surprising. And then just the fans in the building tonight.
Yeah, shout out to the fans. You guys were, for 25%, man, that was pretty loud.
Yeah, they were fired up. I mean, I don't know. Baylor seems to be really in it. So
could
have been bad guy of the week.
Let's get into it. Let's get into our good guys and our bad guys and whatever else. It is Tuesday. That's what we do on the show on Tuesdays, is we go through our good guys and our bad guys. Mm. And for the first time in a long time, we have a Tony guy update that's worth talking about. We'll save that for later. First, your good guy of the week, Tate. What's your pick?
My good guy of the week is, he was my runner-up last week, but I think at this point, he had a valiant effort on Saturday, and this is infringing a bit on the Pac-12 update that we will get later in the week from you. But Mike Hopkins of your Washington Huskies. My goodness. This weekend, he had a nice run against UCLA. They showed some grit.
Up 10.5, I believe.
They showed some moxie. You kind of saw a little bit of life in the program. But otherwise, 1-11. say that again. 1-11.
Just the way he said it. Like, they showed some moxie, but otherwise...
No, and the people are asking the question.
And if it was win-loss moxie, they'd be 1-11-100.
Yeah, this is a headline. This is a headline right
Unfortunately, here. Unfortunately, moxie doesn't show
Can Mike Hopkins survive it? Can he survive it? And in this article that is written about this terrible season, they call him a stand-up guy twice.
Oh, yeah. That's,
A stand-up guy says lots of things. And they bring up 2019. Which is the NCAA tournament. They get to the NCAA tournament. They're very excited about being there. They play Utah State. They get the win. And they say, oh, my gosh, Jim Boeheim is at Syracuse. He's getting a little bit, you know, he's getting close to the end. And he loves Mike Hopkins, and Mike Hopkins loves Syracuse. And, you know, we need to lock him up here at UW. Mm. So they give him this big contract extension. He goes into the next round, plays North Carolina. They get beat. Season over. And since then, it has just been a mess for Mike Hopkins. And now it's to the point where UW fans were saying, we were worried he was going to leave us. We have to lock him down. And now they're saying, What is, can we pay $12 million to buy him out? And also, again, reminding us that he is a stand-up guy and that they do love him. But right now, UW, they have some great players in the league, so maybe there's some things that you can build on. But
can we get the Syracuse perspective? Our producer, Louise, is
She's tied to this.
She's a Syracuse grad. She's a Mike Hopkins fan. Mm-hmm. She was heartbroken that he went to Washington. Do you want Mike Hopkins back? Just give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Yeah, bring
him
back.
She says, yeah, all right. Okay. So Hopkins isn't – he's not damaged goods. He's fine.
Okay. But good guy of the week.
I made this point when we were talking about Arizona State a little while ago about – West or East Coast bias and how the Pac-12, I mean, this is the reason we do a Pac-12 update on the show is because
$12.2 million buyout for Mike Hopkins. My goodness.
The reason we do a Pac-12 update is because the rest of the media is too scared to talk about the Pac-12. They don't want to talk about the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. And in Mick Cronin's case, he complains about this because he says, talk about us, damn it. We're good. Yes. We're every bit as good as every other team. But these are the instances where an East Coast bias helps because I don't think anybody realizes how bad Washington is.
No, they just remember the 2019 tournament. That was the last time we had March Madness.
So in that regard,
in the tournament.
Hopkins is in a good spot because like nobody, you know, that's the joy of being in the Pac-12 is when you're laying stinkers, nobody cares.
He won back-to-back Pac-12 Coach of the Year awards. It turned quickly.
Just focus on that, yeah.
And that's why he's a good guy of the week.
My good guy pick is this was pretty obvious to me, so I'm not even going to try to dress it up. I'm just going to dive straight in. It's Juwan Howard.
Oh.
It was very obviously Juwan Howard. Because Juwan Howard, there's a lot of different prongs to this pick for me. Number one, he made us look stupid. Andy Katz came on the show. We said Texas still is better than Michigan, Andy. Mm-hmm. You're out of your mind. And then immediately Michigan stomps Wisconsin. Texas loses at home to Texas Tech. You and I are looking at each other like, has the game passed us by? Mm-hmm. Has being a talking head about college basketball passed us by? We're like, should we retire? Should we hang it up? And then I don't know. In the back of my mind, it was like I don't need to belabor it, but all this time we've been talking about Michigan, all we've been saying is just like they are very good. They will continue to be very good. Losing at the Barn does not make them bad. They're still a very, very good team, but there's a reason we wait until teams leave their home arena before we get excited about them.
Yep.
There's a reason.
100%.
And also, there's that part of it, is that Juwan Howard, like, if Michigan goes into Minnesota, beats Minnesota by 20, boy, I might not be here today.
The real question is, could the Timberwolves win at the Barn?
This is my other point. This is why Juwan Howard's also a good guy, because the mystique of the Barn... He knew what he had to do when he went in there.
It's a 25-point home court advantage, we think.
He knew that there is a mystique around the Barn. He knew that if I bring my Michigan Wolverines, we're undefeated in here, and I kick Minnesota's ass, the Barn is dead.
Yep.
The Barn mystique is over. Mm-hmm. That did not happen. I forget who was calling the game, but they kept saying, it might have been Dockage or something, but he kept saying over and over, like, it's a shame there aren't fans here because this place would be absolutely nuts. It'd be going crazy. And building into the mystique of like there's something special happening at the Barn. Outside of the Barn, no. Minnesota's 0-4. But in the Barn they are now 11-0. They've beaten
anybody,
Iowa,
everybody.
Michigan State. They blew out Ohio State. Yep. So that's my reason Juwan Howard is good guy of the week. Michigan also had 20 turnovers in this game. Dickinson could have been good guy of the week, honestly, because he 10 days earlier the matchup between Liam Robbins and Hunter Dickinson. Dickinson destroyed Robbins at Chrysler Center. Mm-hmm. 10 days later, Robbins destroys Dickinson. So, yeah, makes sense of that for me, Tate.
But it's also the Barn, so it makes no sense because you throw that in, and it's a variable that we can't really understand. But we also called this on Thursday because Michigan had reached the mountaintop as far as public PR. Everyone had finally got on the bandwagon. Everyone had finally coronated this team and said, you guys are for real. Andy Katz, I'm sure, lifted them up to the tier, and then everyone celebrated. And you and I said this is the time that every single college team does what a college team, you know, is expected to do. They read the headlines, they get the coronation, and they say, we're good. And we're playing Minnesota, it'll be all right. It's just Minnesota. But they don't factor in the Barn, and they get blown out. And it's good for Michigan. I think they needed this. I think they'll be fine, obviously.
Michigan's still going to win the Big Ten.
Yeah.
They're still definitely going to win the Big Ten. I don't think this
all
is
signs
a cause for alarm or anything like that, but it is.
But it was funny. Like once they got the chip off their shoulder, once they finally got there, they do take the L.
What do we do about Minnesota, man? Like,
I mean, it makes no sense.
You want to talk about content? Like, if really Minnesota, if Minnesota goes undefeated and destroys everybody they play at the barn and loses literally every game outside the barn, that's hilarious.
Yeah, and they're an 11 seed hilarious. Because we know when they go to Indianapolis, yeah. they're going to be the team that loses, not at home.
Oh, man. I also wanted to point out in his postgame press conference, Juwan Howard mentioned many times over that Eli Brooks did not play in this game for Michigan. Mm-hmm. And that had some good guy vibes to it because he was basically – he wasn't falling on the sword himself, but he was he gassed up Eli Brooks. Like, if you watch Juwan Howard in his postgame press conference or just the way he was talking about, like, what went wrong out there today, Coach, you would believe that Eli Brooks is the best player on this team, yep. and that was Michigan's problem. So that was a great move by the coach. Talking about his players, though. Like, I like that move. I like that move of, like, when we get Eli back. It's also it's very Calipari-esque of just like,
yeah,
this coach game almost K. doesn't count.
Yeah
Coach K. Yeah. At like, yeah. are we sure this counts?
We actually have some things that we can improve on here. Yeah. When we get our whole squad back.
When we get our whole squad.
Scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's where we are.
Controlling narratives certain ways. So Michigan's going to be fine, but. You know, there's a reason I wasn't ready to anoint them yet. They're still going to win the Big Ten. They're mm-hmm. still going to be very good. I don't think they're going to be a one seed, but whatever. I think Villanova and Baylor and Gonzaga have the one seeds locked up, and then I think from there,
speaking
it's probably
going to
be the second best Big 12 team.
Villanova is back. They Jay Wright just had a Zoom call today and said everyone is cleared. You know, COVID testing.
They play tomorrow or they play today if you're listening. Yeah, Tuesday,
yeah.
right? They
yeah,
play
yeah.
Seton Hall.
So. Here we go. We can finally see Villanova.
Haven't played, dude, in like a month.
Yeah, it literally has been, I think, 3 or 4 weeks at this point. So that's where we are.
That's crazy.
Good guy of the week, though, Juwan Howard.
All right, who's your pick for bad guy?
Bad guy of the week. He has had quite a season, and I will say that because you and I saw him in Asheville. We watched his team, and we were a little uninspired. He did not really move the meter for us. I'm, of course, talking about bad guy of the week. Nate Oates, a.k.a. Nate Goats. That's what the kids are calling him at Alabama because all the five stars love him. Nate Goats can talk about anything with the kids. I saw one five-star recruit say, I can talk to Coach Oates about basketball. I can talk to him about family life. I can even talk to him about girls. That's what this kid said. And I was like, what is Nate Oates talking about with these recruits? But it made me laugh. Nate Oates blows out Kentucky by 20 points. You know, John Petty Jr. is getting, you know, I think he was like the national player of the week this week by a couple places. And Nate Oates is doing the thing where.
We should do national player of the week.
Yeah, I think we should.
We should do that.
Yeah,
we should.
Our TNT national player of the week.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. That'll be fun. But his whole team, they seem to have bought in. He seems to have gotten over the Coach K. We remember Coach K and him had their little beef, and he basically said if Coach K was winning, he would not want to stop playing.
He shouldn't have apologized for that.
And then he apologized, which you and I told him not to do. But at the end of the day, we think it was very tongue-in-cheek. I don't think he meant the apology. I think, you know, he was, you know, crossing, you know, doing whatever he needed to do behind his back so Coach K couldn't see it, laughed at Coach K. But now he's fired up with this team. They're the best team in the SEC. They are also a 3 seed I've seen on many brackets.
Whoa.
Which is, if you had told us that in Asheville,
we don't
even know how that would have been possible. But they are getting guys back that were, you know, going through injuries and things like that. Quinterly was back this past weekend. They blew out our guy Musselman in Arkansas this weekend. Yeah. That was a big game. So, bad guy of the week.
They're not a 3 seed. This is the problem.
Well, they
like,
have 5 stars coming in as well, and that's why the bag checks out. Nate Oates has it going. And I remember Draymond Green tweeted in 2019, like, what? Nate Oates is at Alabama? He's going to start winning big there. And I remember seeing that and thinking to myself, what? Like, what does Draymond know about Nate Oates? But he was right.
Did you see,
so give him credit for that.
Did you see that? I think he said at least, they apparently were playing LSU coming up, Alabama. And I believe this is...
No, this is beef because LSU is the Alabama fans, which is pretty awesome. So the Alabama basketball fans are on a moral high ground because they think that Will Wade is a gangster. I was on the message boards, the Alabama basketball message boards, and they were talking about how much of a cheater Will Wade is, and he's a gangster, and watch the scheme. Have you seen the scheme? Go see the scheme. And it was awesome because it was like Nate Oates is the moral, you know, the compass, and these basketball fans are like, we just love our coach. Meanwhile, he's bringing in 5 stars.
Right.
And he and Will Wade are competing against each other.
Meanwhile.
But that's going to be a showdown. And LSU's, I mean, they're a really solid offense, so.
Alabama fans. Fans like complaining about guys cheating when
Nick
Saban's won how many national titles?
No, we love it.
I think Nate Oates said, if I saw this correctly, and I'm just trying to piece together like headlines I saw, whatever. I think he took a shot at LSU and said something along the lines of like, the pandemic, the situation with the fans and the pandemic, is weird for everybody, but for LSU, it's like basically their home court already. He's like, when we play there, it's going to feel like a normal game in Baton Rouge. It was paraphrasing his comments on
and that's what we mean by bad guy of the week, because Nate Oates, I remember ESPN, they were playing Tennessee and they got his name wrong. They spelled his name wrong and they got his picture wrong. Like they spelled OATES and they put the wrong Nate Oates as Nate Oates. And this was like 2 weeks ago. And I thought to myself, man, Nate Oates is going to be fired up about that. And
I think it's actually good for him. Yeah, I think he created an Andy Enfield situation where like nobody knows what you're up to. But the kids love you. Best.
They're like, Coach Oates can talk about anything.
Talk about girls. He talks to me about girls.
Bad guy of the
week. My bad guy of the week pick is from a program that knows a lot about the bag. In fact, was very heavily involved in the FBI stuff. And as we thought coming into the season, has a postseason ban this year. As we now know, not the case.
Not the case.
They're kicking the can down the road.
Yep.
My pick is Mike Boynton, the head coach of the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Love it.
A little different kind
of
bad guy.
We are bandwagon fans.
We are bandwagon fans. I'm still very much on the bandwagon. Yes. Oklahoma
Just
State.
Making that point.
What tier in the Big 12 is Oklahoma State?
Tier 2.
I think Baylor's 1, Texas is 1. Tier 2. Tier 2 is fair. With Kansas? Kansas is tier 2.
I think Kansas was tier 1, and then they fell to tier 2 today. Tonight.
Okay.
Fell through the cracks.
I'll have to talk to Andy on Friday. Mike Boynton, though, gave a scholarship to D. Mitchell, a walk-on.
I love this.
Crazy story. The kid, his mom apparently got laid off or lost her job somehow when the pandemic started. And to help out his mom and himself and make ends meet, he's a walk-on. He's paying his own way to school. He picked up a 40-hour job, Tate, 40 hours a week, working at Walmart. This story came on my radar like a month ago when I started talking about the scholarship that I'm doing. And I said, we're doing it again this year, which, by the way, we're doing the scholarship again. So anybody listening, if you are a walk-on, you know a walk-on, clubtrillionfoundation.org/apply is where you apply. But someone sent me this. I'm like, hey, man, you should pick this guy. And I was like, I would if I had any say in it, but like, this is, I was reading articles, like, this is insane. A kid works at Walmart, like, it's already hard enough playing basketball and taking classes. But then to have a full-time job. So anyway, Mike Boynton surprises him during a shift at Walmart.
Yep.
He says, you have been put on scholarship. And those videos never get old to me.
It's a great trope in college sports to give someone a scholarship. We've always loved these videos. But this is like a whole another layer of like, not just like he's been working hard in practice and he's been around the team. And he's been a great character guy. It's like, no, this kid is working his ass off. Pardon you know for saying that. But like he's going above and beyond. And then you get rewarded. And all signs point that even Cade Cunningham deciding to go to Oklahoma State showed a lot about what that program is right now.
And stayed when
all of it hit the fan. You know, that said a lot about Coach Boynton. And obviously you see this again. And great story.
Apparently the article I read, D. Mitchell's manager says he could take the rest of the day off because Boynton hooked this up with the manager of Walmart. Hey, I want to come in during the shift break. I want to give him the scholarship. So the manager had organized, like knew it was coming and said to D. Mitchell when the scholarship was given and the video that's being passed around and happened or whatever, said, you can take the rest of your shift off. And D. Mitchell said, the quote I saw said, no, ma'am, the bananas need restocking. I don't know if that's actually what he said or if that's what they put in the article, but
that's unbelievable. Legendary. He's like, I'll get the job done and then I'll celebrate.
Those will absolutely never get old. Those videos. The internet things get old in a week. that's being generous.
Yeah.
But I will never ever get sick of seeing walk-ons get scholarships. It's the coolest thing. Shout out, by the way, as I'm thinking about it right now. Shout out to John Beilein when he gave Andrew Dockett a scholarship and had the police involved, and the police came in like looking for Andrew Dockett.
There's a lot of different ways to do it.
And John Beilein was like, all right, so I want you to take this baton, stick it up in his neck.
Scare him into a scholarship.
Jesus. Anyway.
It's a great time in the Big Ten.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about Tony Guy. We're going to talk about Cal's guys.
Yeah, Cal's guys. Cal had a tough week.
Yeah, there's a lot left to get to right after this.
quick break to get a word from our sponsor, Raycon. Every new year, all you hear is new year, new me. That usually means you'll be picking up better habits or trying new things. And if you do take up a new hobby, it's even better when you have amazing audio that will make the experience even better. That's why I recommend a wireless earbuds from Raycon. Whether it's following along to directions in the kitchen, binging an audiobook, or powering through a new workout with a pumped up playlist in your ear, a pair of Raycons can make any activity easier and a better time. Raycon makes great sound accessible to everyone. Their wireless earbuds start at half the price of other premium audio brands. And guess what? If you think having white stems dangling out of your ears looks ridiculous, there's something you don't have to worry about with Raycons. They come in a range of stylish colorways, but always with a comfortable in-ear fit for a more discreet look. Raycon's offering 15% off all their products for our listeners, and here's what you got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/Tate. You'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order, so feel free to grab a pair and a spare. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/Tate. buyraycon.com/Tate.
Do you own a renter home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy, though? Apparently coming up with these Geico TV commercials with all the... I love them. So stupid. I mean, I think Geico's okay with me saying that.
But no, so like stupid fun. In the way that we love.
Yeah, in like the way awesome. They need to be stupid. Yeah. The we have a problem with clogging and our neighbor's fencing. So dumb, but it works for me. you know what else is easy is bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. All right, we're back. I got to be honest, Tate. The studio is tripping me out. It's really like I'm trying to think of the analogy of what college basketball team are we? Where we basically
it's like Wayne's World when they finally get the real studio. they're like kind of freaked out by it. And they're like, what's happening?
So the first time we set foot in this place was like 30 seconds before we hit record on the thing. I'm just trying to think of like is this Stanford if they get back in their gym where they haven't even practiced in their gym? They haven't even played their
roll
gym.
Roll the balls out.
They roll the balls out. It's like UCLA Stanford's going and they don't even get a warm up. And it's just like tip the ball. I don't know. I got to stop making excuses, but I'm very much rattled. I just want to acknowledge it. Bring a little levity to the situation.
Yeah. Again, break the fourth wall. You're with us.
Break the fourth wall. We're doing it.
We're on the fifth floor. We're not the diehard building.
It's been 10 months since we've done this. This is crazy. All right. Let's get into it. You want to do Cal's guy or Tony?
Yeah, Cal's guy. All right. Yeah, for sure.
Cal's guys. Here's the update. Big bullet points. You're more excited about this than I am, so I'll let you take over. But bullet points, Kentucky sucks again. Mm. That's pretty much it. Lost to Auburn. Lost to Alabama. Still not over. The season is still not over.
Yep.
A lot of people saying Kentucky, they're 4-8. They're not even the best 4-8 team in the country because Notre Dame is also 4-8.
Remember when they beat Florida on the road by 20? That's what they're saying.
Notre Dame is also 4-8 and beat Kentucky, so technically Kentucky is not even the best 4-8 team in the country.
Wow.
That's not where you want to be. But if they win out, Tate, I'm not even talking about winning the SEC tournament. If they win the SEC tournament, obviously they're in automatically. But if they win out in the regular season, because they got Tennessee twice, they still have Texas on the schedule.
Yep.
They still have Alabama.
Yep.
It's not over yet.
Yep.
It's not. They have Alabama again. I think they play Missouri still. There's a lot of good wins are out there. If Kentucky, if they're entering the SEC tournament with 8 losses, they're still in business. So let's not hit the eject button yet.
It was just a week ago.
All they have to do is win out.
It was just a week ago that you and I on Zoom chatted and we said Kentucky's undefeated. In the SEC, we qualified, but we also said undefeated at large because Coach Cal basically had said, we have Keon Brooks back.
Right.
We are back.
We're a different team.
Yeah, we are a different team. Everything that you've seen before, eject it, throw it away, it's done. And then this week, he just had a week. So basically, heart is the word. This is the word of the week for John Calipari. And he said, and I quote, I want to win every game I coach. But the other side of it is, I'm not trying to take anybody's heart away. And of course, he's talking about Olivier Saar and he's talking about BJ Boston, guys that have struggled, BJ Boston especially. Mm-hmm. And Coach Calipari obviously has some sort of reasoning behind his decision not to take them out of the starting lineup and pull them out of games. And then he doubled down on this. People, you know, questioned these quotes, and they said, but Coach Cal, why? And he said, think about their parents. And then people, you know, rightly enough said, well, Jacob Toppin, I'm pretty sure that he has the same parents as Obi Toppin. Yeah. So what about his parents?
Right.
And what do they think about this? But obviously those parents did not have the same reasonings and understandings that Coach Cal has with them. And it's a whole
mess. And all
mess.
The Kentucky fans are like, think about my parents who have been watching Kentucky basketball their whole life and have never seen a team this bad.
What if it was your son, is what Calipari said to the reporter about the benching. And right now, there's some, obviously, you know, Big Blue Nation is unhinged. They are, everyone's pointing fingers. No one knows what to do. And Coach Calipari is trying to come up with the memes and the quotes and the sayings and the phrases, and none of them are hitting. You know, usually a few of them will hit.
They hit for like 2 days after they beat Florida. You're like, he's back. He's got it back. He's
lost at sea right now.
He's lost at sea. I saw he did some interview where he was talking about, he phoned in and he was talking about, everyone says that Cal is different this year. And he's like, you bet your butt I'm different this year. I care about these kids. And he's kind of like hinting at the mental health struggles of the pandemic, which are very real. And I don't mean to come across like I'm saying they're not. But one thing I haven't heard John Calipari say yet is that we suck.
Yeah.
Like, I suck as a coach. Mm-hmm. We our team sucks. We are not good. We have to get better. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to try anything. And instead it's like,
no, it's the scheduling.
It's scheduling. It's like, it's going to work. Like, BJ Boston's going to figure it out at some point. It's like, that's not, I don't know. It's at some point you're doing him a disservice by not coaching him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
The top three recruiting classes of 2020 coming into this year, North Carolina was not number one, but they were in the top three. I just said them first because, you know, closest to my heart. But then Kentucky and Duke, all three of those teams not in the top 25, first time since 1961. Mm-hmm. BJ Boston, to further double down why Big Blue Nation is upset, he has taken roughly 40 more shots than the next closest player on the team, and he is shooting the worst percentage on the team.
What? I didn't know it was that bad.
40 more shots to the next closest player. So that is why there has been some questions. Calipari, BJ Boston, for people at home that don't know, was the biggest recruit in this class. So obviously he is going to
start. Yeah, he was
the
guy. He was the. I mean, if the NBA draft had to happen before any of these guys played, he was a top 10 pick for sure, right?
Yeah. So that's what's happening in Big Blue Nation. It's a mess.
Meanwhile, while we're on the topic of Cal's guys, you brought up Washington and Hopkins earlier. Quad Green. 25 points against UCLA. We're getting closer.
I mean, Quad A Green is literally every single day trying to answer the bell for John Calipari. And I feel like if he does have a 30-point game, even if Kentucky loses and gets blown out, Cal goes to the press conference and says, what did I tell you guys?
Never forget when Charles Matthews was killing it for Michigan. And Cal, I'll never forget.
Like, that's my guy.
And he probably only tweeted one time, but I saw one tweet where he's like, my guy, Charles Matthews. I was like, hold on, what?
This guy just transferred.
Anyway, shout out Joe Burrow.
Do you think we get a
Ohio State Buckeye Joe Burrow?
Do we get a Johnny Juzang tweet at some point this
year?
Juzang, love Johnny's game, looking great for UCLA.
I'm surprised he didn't give a Cal wasn't live tweeted the UCLA Washington game and breaking down Quaddy versus Johnny. I had this as well. You're talking about Big Blue Nation and they're in a tizzy. They're losing their minds. They're trying to find ways to vocalize it. What better way to do it than to turn to Twitter and harass your head coach's daughter?
Is that what they were doing?
Well, I don't know. I'm basing it off of this. I saw Erin Calipari. She's the doctor.
Oh, wow. So not Megan, Erin. Okay.
Yeah, she's the doctor. Dr. Cal. She tweeted today, and I love this. The reason I saw this is because Brad, who I follow proudly on Twitter, I do not follow Dr. Cal.
I do not follow Dr. Cal.
But I do follow Megan Brad. And Brad retweeted in my timeline, and the tweet read this tape. Also, stop tweeting at me that you don't respect my dad anymore. I never respected your dad in the first place.
Talking to all the That's what I'm talking about, Brad. Yeah. That's respect. That's for the family.
So
that's good to hear.
Family is ready to fight. Listen.
Drake texted him afterwards and said, keep the family close. Yeah. Good to see you, Brad. Love you, bro.
No, Drake retweeted Dr. Cal and put, that's facts.
Prayer hands.
But the lead into this was, she said, anyone who thinks, and she tagged her dad, anyone who thinks my dad doesn't care about winning games is out of their mind. Mm. Also, stop tweeting to me that you don't respect my dad anymore.
What a weird thing to do to tweet at Cal's kids to get his, I mean, because at the end of the day, Cal's kids are the ones that are playing on the court.
Yeah.
So maybe there's some confusion. Like when Cal's talking about his kids, they think that he's talking about like his actual kids. So they're like, I got to yell at them to play harder. And it's
Calipari one of Cal's guys?
Just a kid or a guy. Who knows? Man, what a year. I wish we had the Calcast. This was the year for the Calcast.
You mentioned it earlier. Duke, UNC, Kentucky all unranked.
Yeah. Blue Bloods. Are they dying?
Kansas did not look great against Baylor tonight.
Yeah.
This wasn't a surprise coming into the season. This was one of the big themes I had on the big bullet points.
Yep.
If you will. But the Blue Bloods, I didn't think a single Blue Blood was going to be better than they were last year, except for North Carolina. And the only reason they were going to be better is because they were so bad.
How could
last
they be
year.
Worse?
Yeah. So this isn't exactly a surprise. Does it mean anything moving forward, though, Tate? Mm. I think that's the question. That's the question.
Yeah.
Cal, like, people are selling all their Cal stock. Coach K is long in the tooth, certainly, but he's also a cyborg, so he might be around forever. Roy is starting to show signs of, is it worth it? I don't know.
I as I sit here right now, as a North Carolina, as a blue blooder myself, I will say, I think that the panic button is being pressed at Kentucky too soon. So I think right now, everyone's...
Fournette's not a reason to panic.
No.
You're talking long-term.
Program. I think they're saying, like, get us out of this lifetime contract right now. Like, what is the buyout? Is it $12.2 million? Because Big Blue Nation will find that money. That's what they're thinking. But in reality, the program that needs to worry right now is Duke. And it's because of Kevin White. Kevin White has been a behind-the-scenes stalwart for Duke. He has obviously been on the NCAA committee. He has been able to manipulate things on the back end for ACC and Coach K dominance. Coach K does not have him working. He's going to retire at the end of this year. Coach K, I don't know what he does without Kevin White. We always thought that Mike White would come from Florida to take Coach K's spot, and Kevin White would continue. Kevin White, one of the biggest guys in all of college sports, as far as like figures that are well-known. And obviously did a great job and is important to Duke and important to the Duke brand. He was the one that said, look, we got to do this one and done thing. We got to really make this happen. And Coach K said, okay. And that's how it happened.
And he's retiring. Jim Phillips takes over as ACC commissioner, which looked like there was going to be a little situation there. They were buddies. Where did they used to, was it Boston College? Notre Dame.
Yeah. And then Bubba Cunningham also was at Notre Dame. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a little, you're starting to read the tea leaves. And you're like, is this going to benefit them? As it turns out, no.
So Duke, on the radar, worried. UCLA fans and West Coast basketball fans, be excited because UCLA is the representation of the blue blood.
UCLA the best blue blood?
Yes, they are the best
blue blood. Let's just cut to the chase. Yes. Is UCLA the best blue blood? Yes. Who is sitting on the blue blood throne? It's
right
UCLA.
Now, UCLA.
Yeah.
Kansas fans will be upset about this, but Kansas, you just lost back-to-back Big 12 games. So just take a break. Take a step back. Get out of the rankings. Just lose five in a row. Just come with us. Come with the rest of the real blue bloods. Let UCLA have this one shining moment.
Yep.
UCLA
is back.
It's going to be fine, right?
On the throne. Indiana sucks if you still count them as a blue blood.
Last four in, I saw Carolina and Indiana were both in that group, and I'm fingers crossed. The Maui bum. Let them in.
Dude, this is the – by the way, I didn't mean to – we were supposed to be talking about Cal's guys, but we've diverted whatever. But this might be the worst year of Indiana and North Carolina basketball of all time. Indiana across the board, not just the Hoosiers. Purdue is not good. They look good against Indiana. Yeah. They came back to beat Michigan State. Purdue is not a good basketball team. Though they might sneak into the tournament, I guess, because they'll probably beat a handful of other Big Ten teams. But like Purdue's
Butler's
not good. Butler is bad.
Yeah.
They just beat Creighton, by the way, which is awesome.
Creighton, not that great either. Really yeah, we tried to.
Butler's like 4-7, 4-8, something like that.
Yeah.
Notre Dame is really bad. Yeah, bad across the board. Then Duke, UNC, NC
Wake
State.
Wake Forest.
Wake Forest, yeah.
Yeah.
Rough. Should we cancel the show?
What are we doing here? At least we're going back to Indiana for March.
All right, that was Blue Blood update. Let's talk about the New Bloods, specifically the most recent national champion, your defending national champion, the Who Bloods, we'll say. We've been doing this Tony Guy segment all season, and we've kind of been waiting for a reason to get excited about it because in our mind we thought Virginia was the top five team in the preseason, right? I think Virginia is the only top five team that's not in the top five, the only preseason top five that's not in the top five now. Because it was the top three preseason is the top three now.
Yep.
It was Gonzaga, Baylor.
What about Kansas? What was Kansas? They were six?
I think Kansas was, down. Because I think Virginia was up there and then Iowa was five.
Yeah.
And Iowa is now still in the top. You get the point. Virginia yeah. is the one that's slid out of the top five. And, yeah, coming into the season, we thought, we're going to talk about Virginia a ton. They're going to be the best team in the ACC again.
Mm-hmm.
The beat goes on. They're the defending champs. They have the Hauser, the better Hauser brother, I think. You don't think so. All that kind of stuff. And they haven't given us much to talk about until now.
Until now.
Absolutely destroy Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson, going into this game, was the number one defense, according to KenPom, in the country.
That was their first problem.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
That Tony Bennett...
Never upset
the Michael
Virginia.
Jordan theme, yes. And I took that personally. Tony Bennett said, we're going to kick your ass. Virginia basketball scored 85 points
yeah.
on the number one defense in the country.
And won by 35. And yeah. That was like an ACC scoring margin record. And it was an absolute blowout from start to finish. And, you know, after the game, Tony Bennett was trying to give, you know, in very Tony Bennett fashion, giving credit to Clemson and saying how well that they played. And he brought up the Gonzaga game when I felt like that this Virginia team, to unlock them, they had to play a real team. They had to play a team that was going to basically expose that they were not playing real Tony Bennett defense.
Mm-hmm.
And Gonzaga definitely did that. We saw them get blown out by Gonzaga. And since then, they have really locked in. They, you know, they played
Notre
Dame.
We know why they locked in. We joked about it, but I think there might be some truth to this. If they got Notre Dame, Notre Dame is the fix.
Yes, yeah, of
course. They played Notre Dame.
Yes.
They played four games in between
That's
Gonzaga.
That's how you get back on the rails. You yeah. play Mike Bray, and you're back.
They played four games in between Gonzaga and Clemson.
Yep.
Four games, Tate. Two of them were against Notre Dame.
Mm.
They got a double dose of Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame is like, it's like the corona vaccine. You get your one dose of Notre Dame. You come back, you get your other, you're good to go. And you beat Clemson by 35.
Yeah.
I just looked it up. Clemson is now the sixth best defense in the country, according to KenPom.
Wow.
Virginia kicked their
Five
ass so
spots.
Badly they fell that far.
And where's Virginia, number two?
I didn't look that up.
I'm going to say Virginia's got to be number two.
Well, that was our last update we did, is that Virginia was outside the top 10. They are now ninth, according to KenPom. What other notes did I have? They hit 15 threes in this game. Sam Hauser's averaging 14, 7, and 2 assists. Are you ready to put that debate to bed? Not yet?
Not yet.
All right.
Not yet. I have to see Sam Hauser suffocate North Carolina with the pack line defense and beat them, and then I will say, yeah, this Virginia team is really good, because I'm that stupid. I will talk myself a million different ways as to why Virginia is not as good, you know, as they usually are, until it happens to me, you know,
and
I will see what
happens. Make sense of the ACC for me, because let's use this as a jumping off point to discuss Florida State, who, I mean, my God, everyone covering that game tonight for ESPN could not keep it in their pants talking about Florida State. Like Seth Greenberg and LaPhonso Ellis, they're going to halftime and post-game shows, and they're like, that is a Final Four team. And they're like, all right, let's see where Joe Lunardi has and an 8 seed. He's like, I don't care. That's a Final Four team.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're doing like a – and then they like back off, and then the next time you see Seth Greenberg, he's like, that is an Elite 8 team.
Yeah.
Lock it in. That's a 3-16 Elite 8 team. Why are they not ranked? It's like, what? Why are they not ranked? Because they lost to UCF, for God's sakes. Like,
yeah.
What are you talking about, Seth?
And UCF, I mean, Johnny Dawkins was almost good guy of the week. So that gives you where UCF is right now. But this Florida State team, you asked me a week ago, you said, who are the best teams in the ACC? You asked me what you're asking me right now. What is the ACC?
Yeah.
Dissect this,
Tate
explain
the
this.
ACC.
Yeah, and I did, and I looked at it, and I said, the best team is State. And I said NC State. Mm-hmm. But the answer, the best team is State. And it could be Florida State, it can be NC State, it can be Virginia Tech, which is the state school in Virginia in my mind. So those three teams are the best that you have in the ACC.
Okay.
Virginia Tech is probably the scrappiest team. If I was, you know, in March, I would not want to play them as a 4-5 seed, right? If you're a 1 seed, you don't want to play Virginia Tech. They have Cone, they have Visa Beattie, all these guys. And Mike Young is a really good coach. And I think that you and I kind of joked about him being Mr. November. He's actually legitimate, you know, and we saw him at Maui last year. So Virginia Tech, give them their kudos. Leonard Hamilton is a great guy, and I want to just express that and say that as many times as possible, because I love Leonard so much. He's the best, and he's number one in all of our hearts, you know. And Florida State has the package to be a great team, but they also are Florida State with Leonard Hamilton. So Elite Eight is probably where we're going to see them peak out at. So like Elite Eight seems really good for Florida State. And I would say if the Elite Eight is as far as an ACC team goes, I could see Florida State and Virginia being those two teams. So like those would be my picks. Clemson could be a Sweet 16 team. I could see NC State being a Sweet 16 team. I'm not going to die on that. Virginia Tech could be a Sweet 16.
We've reached that point this season, by the way, where we're just theoretically throwing out how far teams can go.
Can go. They don't have a Final Four team. They do not have a Final Four team.
I swear to God, I heard Seth tonight say something. Whether he said it or not, this is what I heard him say.
Yeah.
It was like, Like, this Florida State team can make the Elite Eight, and then once you're there, who knows what happens? Maybe they get
the final. Well, what I'm saying is that he's going to have a Dana moment and go, huh? And they're not going to make the Final Four. So the
don't
ceiling...
let Kentucky get in the tournament, because if you're in the tournament, you can win. All you got to do is win one game. Yeah. They win one game.
Then who knows what happens?
Now they're in the round of 32.
They have a chance to win that next one.
They can win the next one. Now they're in the Sweet 16. You look up, they win two more, bam, Final Four.
I think Louisville.
Are you explaining the tournament?
I think I mentioned Louisville last week. I like Louisville, but not that much. They're not as one of the top teams that I'm really focusing in on. So kind of just knock them back a tier.
Let me put it.
Clemson's still up there.
Let me put it.
I'm not done with Clemson.
Let's make this a recurring thing too. Because I asked you this question last time we did this, and we'll just do this with an update. I'm returning from the future. In the future, there was only one ACC team that made the Final Four. But surprisingly, the ACC did have a Final Four team.
Virginia.
Who was that team?
Virginia.
It was Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the answer too.
Yeah.
But they're not the best team in the ACC.
But they're not the best team. No, absolutely not. Exactly. I have to see it first. It has to hit me in the face. It has to be washed over Tony Bennett basketball to finally buy in. But yeah, they're the team that I see in the Final Four. If you have to picture, close your eyes, visualize it. I see the V. I see Virginia. I see Tony Bennett. And I see all the Virginia fans saying back-to-back Final Fours to me. And I'm like, we didn't have a tournament last year.
Dude, you were so excited to hate Virginia this year.
I do hate Virginia.
Yeah.
Why do you think I said they're not the best team? I will not give them that. The scariest team in the ACC, though, North Carolina. I think you do not want to play them right now. Lost by 7 to the hottest team in the ACC, Florida State. I can't even say what the straight face.
Lost by
tough year.
You're saying like, yeah,
the blue bloods are sitting out.
That's the spin on Kentucky. Is like a team loses, they're going to be fired up for the next one. Yeah. Kentucky is just collecting. It's like a rubber band you pull back. Mm. They're just stacking up the losses, just slowly pulling that rubber band back. Yeah. But just wait till mid-February when they let that thing go.
Mm.
And it's ultimately...
Then it's on and popping.
Yeah, but...
Who's going to win the NIT this year? North Carolina, Duke, or Kentucky?
Is there an NIT? They might have one just for them. I don't think there's a plan for an NIT, but if they're going to look up and be like, oh my God, Kentucky, Duke, and Carolina didn't make the tournament,
This, but you think there's a chance because of the blue blood fallout that there is a chance that we do stop?
Like stop the whole tournament? Like Coach K gets
like Coach
way.
K actually right now is working the phones. He's making phone calls to the West Coast.
All jokes aside,
I'm not even kidding.
I don't think it'd be for that reason. I think like they're going to play the tournament.
Right.
They're going to find a way to play the tournament.
Right.
But like that was my fear coming into the season is that right after the Super
Roy Bowl, wants to play. Coach Cal wants to play. I don't know about Coach K. So
my fear coming into the season was that after the Super Bowl, the
Nate
Oates
wants to play.
Would look around and they would say, "Well, coronavirus, pretty bad as it turns out. We should stop everything." And then they just like cut our legs out from under us being college basketball for the second year in a row. And there's no way that's going to happen. I think the cat's out of the bed.
It was too late.
Out of the bottle. Yeah. The toothpaste is out of the tip. Whatever your whatever turn of phrase you want to use.
Would say, no cap.
Yeah, no cap. As Nate Oates would say to the recruits when he's talking about.
Yes. You should go to Tuscaloosa, no cap. Thanks, Coach. I'm in.
I just picture Eric Musselman's making TikToks for his kids for recruiting purposes.
That's what I'm saying.
Nate Oates is talking about women.
It's actually good for generational bonding. You know what I mean? Like, there was no way that this connection could be made without college basketball. You know? It's kind of beautiful at the end of the day.
Is there anything else for Virginia? I don't think so. I mean,
they're the best team in the ACC.
They blew out Clemson too badly. Like, there's nothing else to really say. They're like, there's no point. The two point guards are working.
Yeah,
that's Beekman and Kia Clark. That's working. Kia Clark's hair. I can say this because I'm a hair guy now. Mm-hmm. I got
you got the flow.
I got the flow going.
Yeah.
His hair, his decisions are all over the place. I can't figure it out. Like, I swear every time I turn on Virginia, I haven't watched every game Virginia's played this year because they still get, even after winning the title, they still get the ACC Network Plus channel.
Yeah.
ACC Network 2 Plus .com / UVA Sports treatment.
The ACC has tiers. You're 1B. You're 1B.
Yeah, they're the defending national title, national champs. Can't even see them on TV.
Meanwhile, the Blue Bloods over here can barely even bring the ball up the court. They're like, we're getting primetime games.
So I haven't seen every game, but Keay Clark's his hair is I swear every time I see him play, he's got something different going on. I like some more than others, but is him changing it up so often a sign that he's not content? Do we need him to lock in on one hair and ride it out the rest of the year? What would Kyle Guy do with the man bun? Mm. He ultimately said no to the man bun, but it wasn't like Kyle Guy like had a man bun one game, didn't have it.
No,
the
it
next,
was a so. Year, and then he decided in the offseason. It was like a, it
who
was
else?
An ultimate
didn't,
decision.
Didn't Anthony Gill have shitty hair one year?
Yeah.
He like just showed up his senior year.
I mean, the Virginia, yeah. I mean, Parentes, obviously. That's what, yeah. Keay Clark's giving me Parentes vibes at times. I will say I saw Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy both kind of going at the media narrative that Kihei, you know, apparently people were talking a bunch of trash about Kihei, how he wasn't the point guard at Virginia.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that was never us. And I think you and I both were just confused at one point. We were like, what's going on? Why is Kihei not getting the
oh, I was very confused.
Yeah, the point guard treatment.
Did this man not start on a national
And now it seems like he's got that confidence at least. And watching Virginia this weekend, especially against Clemson, one, it showed me that they are who we thought they would be at, you know, a certain point throughout the year. And two, Clemson, when Big Brother comes to town, like they shrivel back up, you know what I mean? They know when the big show's in town. And like when, you know, Carolina, Duke, Virginia, even maybe Virginia Tech, Florida State, some of those teams, they might shrink.
I kind of wanted Clemson to win the ACC, though, because...
Yeah, it would have been fun.
To have the football team and the basketball team.
Yeah. That's what the...
Here's a Big Ten stat of the day, courtesy of your guy, Brian Ives.
Okay.
The last time... I actually didn't write this down. I DM'd him like a week ago about it, and he told me, and I'm trying to rip it from memory. The last time an ACC school won the football... regular season, or the I guess there's no regular season, the ACC championship, and then the regular season basketball championship, which the ACC, as we know, does not honor, even though Duke hangs all the banners nonetheless. The last time that happened where you won both football and basketball was Maryland in like 2003 or something. I want to say
that's so gross. That's such a gross.
It was a Big Ten team.
Yeah.
The last team to do it was a Big Ten team. And then the time it happened before then was like 1961 or something like that.
When's the last time? Because Alabama, there's a lot of
Alabama might win SEC.
Could win both.
Clemson could win ACC.
Football,
Ohio
basketball
State,
school. This
don't
is
give,
the year.
Don't give up on the Buckeyes, by the way. Beat the hell out of Illinois and Champaign. The Buckeyes are
Illinois,
tier 3, tier 4.
No, they're tier 2. They're tier 2.
I like where we're at. I like that nobody's talking about Ohio State. I like that if you ask the random college basketball fan.
What are we doing about Illinois, by the way? Dude. Yeah. I'm glad we didn't join the bandwagon. I will say that.
We almost did.
Yeah, we were. I was pushing.
I was on the.
I was a little upset that we didn't join the bandwagon.
I think
if we did, they'd have a better season. But
I was on the bandwagon that they're the best team in the Big Ten, which they're still the most talented team in the Big Ten, right?
They're just ish.
Their defense is bad. It's not fixable. That's the problem. It's like their problems cannot be fixed. Iowa's defense is bad, but they knew that going into the season they was going to be bad. So they're like, let's not even try to fix it. Let's just pour more offense onto the problem.
Let's score more.
Let's just score more.
Sounds like the Nets.
And Iowa, conversely, Illinois has problems. I don't think Illinois is going to be able to fix their problems. To me, they feel like a Sweet 16, like maybe like...
I think they're max Elite Eight team. And if they get into that game, they have no chance.
I feel like... Maybe a Sweet 16. Maybe they play the last game of the Sweet 16 round on Sunday.
I can't get on Friday.
I mean,
get behind someone tweeting at us or reaching out to us and saying, "Remember when you said Illinois was only a Sweet 16 team when they're in the Elite Eight?" We're just kidding. We're just kidding.
No, conversely, Iowa. So Illinois has been having problems. Wisconsin has been a little up and down, but people still believe in them just because you want to talk.
I believe in Wisconsin.
I kind of do too.
Yeah,
they do feel too old. I think Wisconsin might be the first team in college basketball history that's too old.
Yeah, I was just saying, that's awesome that they're too old.
I think they've adopted Mike Bray's get old, stay old thing.
I think next year they'll be too old when they come back. Dude, that'll be the year.
Mike Bray became, you know, the get old, stay old thing became popular. People loved it. They're like, yeah, that's a great idea. And then you know, Villanova has, for example, tried to copy that idea of like building guys and, and
North Carolina. Yeah.
North Carolina's doing it.
Yeah.
A lot of programs are doing it.
Everyone's doing it. Except for Coach Cal.
And I think Wisconsin went a little too far and said, let's get really old.
Yeah.
And I think that might be a problem. They need to do some load management, I think. Mm. I think Wisconsin's going to be the first load management team we've ever seen in college basketball.
They're asking players to leave. Like, please leave the program.
But anyway, what was the point I was thinking? Oh, I believe in Iowa. That's what that was. That was where I was going with all that.
Yeah,
is that Iowa is legitimately very good. As a reminder, Iowa has lost two games. One was against Gonzaga, who is the best team in the country
by far,
and has been. It's
by
not
far.
By
I'm
far.
I'm saying by far.
I'm not saying.
I'm
by
sticking
far.
To
Baylor
it.
Fans
by far.
Baylor fans. I'm still saying Gonzaga is better, but not by far. I'm saying
Baylor fans. Scott some, Drew won by, the 2013 NIT. You know that. I know that. America knows that. Don't you worry about it.
Iowa's two losses were Gonzaga and then Minnesota at the Barn in overtime, which I would argue are the two best teams in college basketball we maybe have ever seen, ever, is Minnesota at the Barn and Gonzaga.
Can we say this? Luka Garza, National Player of the Year.
It's done.
It's done.
Lock it
right,
in.
Right, lock it in. I think last year you and I obviously were in the beef with Obi Toppin versus Luka Garza, and we came in this year with an open heart and an open mind, and we said we want to be a part of the Iowa-Luka Garza run. And we haven't had the chance to promote it as much as we would like because he just shirted up from the start. He was like, I am the best player in college basketball. Look at these stats. I am done. So just want to say that. He is the National Player of the Year.
The only way it's not Luka Garza, in a cruel twist of fate,
is if the whole Gonzaga team wins National Player of the Year. The team. The starting five wins
Iowa
National Player of the Year.
Iowa did it in the Maui Invitational once upon a time.
And then it comes
back to curse Iowa, or now you're on the losing end of it.
That's
the National
perfect.
Player of the Year is the Gonzaga Bulldogs.
Yeah. And it's the first time that a team is arguing against teamwork.
Yeah.
They're like, give it to our guy.
Yeah.
It's not because of the team. It's
no,
him.
Who would even be? So I haven't even really, to be honest with you, I haven't even stopped to like think about who would even be second. Jared Butler after tonight, maybe.
I guess.
I mean, he's an All-American. He's going to be a first-team All-American for sure. Suggs and Kispert. And
this was probably his
like honestly,
his Heisman game or Naismith game, whatever you want to call it. He had 30 points tonight and was like unbelievable. So maybe
gut reaction. I don't know if I believe this, but I also don't care enough to talk myself out of it. My first-team All-Americans are Luka Garza, Jared Butler, and three Gonzaga players.
Yeah,
right
that's
now.
Pretty good. That's a pretty good five.
Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't expect that to happen. Gonzaga's not going to get three on the All-American team, but...
How crazy is it going
to
be?
Like, who's better than those three?
I mean, definitely no one. And then Cade Cunningham to have Jalen Suggs be a first-team All-American freshman point guard, and Cade will probably be second or third team. That's pretty crazy. If you had said that at the beginning of the year that Jalen Suggs would be the first-team All-American point guard, or there would be a freshman All-American point guard, everyone would have said Cade. The fact that it's Suggs, that's pretty shocking. So,
yeah. What else? Is that it? Shout-outs, closeouts?
Yeah, shout-outs.
Get this thing over with. What do you got?
Shout out to just one, the NFL for entertaining me this weekend and for the fact that we have four real quarterbacks in the NFC and AFC championship games. This is like, I just want to shout out to the fact that like I'm excited to watch this all play out for quite some time. There's been some moments where you have like a Blake Bortles.
Very company
AFC.
Man of you, by the way.
I mean, I'm just saying, I'm watching the football. I used to cover the football. Now I just watch it.
I watch the football.
Put that on a t-shirt. I enjoy it. It's been great. It was a great weekend. Tom Brady winning was so fun because I see the writing on the wall of what's ahead, which is Aaron Rodgers. Just owning him, and then Tom Brady having this weird complex of like, am I the GOAT? Because this guy who's my contemporary just beat the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for that moment this weekend, so that'll be fun. And I love the Bills. I think Josh Allen and the Bills are a lot of fun. I think that's America's team. We asked that during the year, early on during the offseason, who's America's team? Buffalo.
It's the Bills. Yeah.
Not the Browns, unfortunately.
I have a confession. Nobody's listening this late into the podcast.
Yeah, it's too late.
I do love Aaron Rodgers with all my heart.
Mm.
And,
I've never disliked Aaron Rodgers.
I hated the man for a long time. I was a Vikings fan for a little while. Yeah. And then,
is that because of Randy Moss?
Chris Carter.
That's right, because of Butch Carter.
But my God, he's so fun to watch. It's so fun to watch how little he cares. Like the funny thing about Aaron Rodgers to me is the way people talk about quarterbacks and the best quarterbacks of all time are just like film nerds, and they're just locked themselves in. And I guess maybe I'm biased because I grew up in Indianapolis, so I just heard all these stories about Peyton Manning. My idea of Peyton Manning is he's locking himself in a film room for 90 hours a week.
Yeah.
And the game is won in the film room for Peyton Manning. Like he's just studying, and it's 5D chess he's playing out there and all that kind of stuff. Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure, watches film, obviously. I'm sure he breaks it down. I'm sure he's very cerebral. This man looks like he just shows up and just like
Very backyard football.
Very backyard football, but not in a Brett Favre like reckless way.
No, no, no.
Just in like a like I am way too talented to watch the film. Like that's it's I have like, better use of my time than to watch film. This week.
It's kind of like the older kid in the neighborhood that goes and plays with like, and he's like, I'll be all time quarterback. He's like just slinging darts around, and you're just like, man, this is unbelievable.
Dude. It's so crazy. So I love watching it for that reason. It's because it's the way people talk about being a quarterback in the NFL is like. It's harder than brain surgery. It's harder than rocket science. And Aaron Rodgers refutes all of the way people talk about it. He takes all of that talk and just shoves it back in people's faces. Like, this is the easiest thing I've ever done in my life.
I will say that's my favorite thing about Stephen Curry as well. Because it's the same kind of vibe where it's like all these people want to tell you how it is. And then you see it and you're like, but that guy seems like he's just playing pickup basketball and he's having a great time. And he's not thinking about it. He's just having fun.
Remember when we found out Steph Curry did a master class where he teaches people how to shoot? And we never actually watched it, but I imagine Steph Curry's master class is just like, just fucking make the shot. Like, what are you, so here's how I do it. I
flick your wrist.
Take the ball. Yeah. I make the shot.
Guide hand.
That's how I feel like Aaron Rodgers is too. Is like if he did a master class on how to play quarterback, he's like, so here's what you do. You drop back, you find the open guy, and you throw him the fucking football. That's
it. Yeah, game over. Touchdown.
It's a 10-second master class. Now pay me. I want to shout out, we maybe should have led the show with this, but whatever, we're here now. Gus Johnson, who was on the show on Friday, was supposed today being Monday, today's Martin Luther King Day, he was supposed to be in Washington, D.C. calling the Howard versus Notre Dame game, but unfortunately it was Howard, right, that had the COVID problems?
Yeah, I think so.
And the game is canceled. And that's a bummer. That's a huge bummer because it meant so much to him, and it would have been fun to watch. I think it would have actually been a good game, and that sucks.
I woke up today fired up for that game and obviously found out about, you know, all the complications and it wasn't going to happen. And we're going to get it next year, which is good news. Gus will be calling that game, hopefully, and we'll still get the moment. But like you said, he was great on the show. It was one of those like bucket list moments for us. And college basketball is heating up. You and I are back in the studio. I can't believe it's real life. And I can't wait to watch
games. This is the time of year. Yeah, this is the time of year where we traditionally are down on college basketball, and we're just like, man, just get us to the tournament and all that.
We're close.
I don't really have that feeling right now.
No.
I'm along for the ride.
Six undefeated teams.
Let's do it. It is weird. It's been a weird year. It's weird that Villanova hasn't played for a month. It's been hard to follow certain teams, like games getting postponed and moved around and all of that. It's weird also in the sense of, like, you know, if Florida State is in fact the best team in the ACC, in your mind you're like, they must be a one seed in the tournament. They got to be national, but they're not.
They're a three seed,
And it's weird because it really is just like Gonzaga, the Big 12, the Big 10, and Villanova. Mm-hmm. That seems to be it. That seems to be like all that matters right now. So you want to talk yourself into some SEC teams and some ACC teams, but at the same time, I don't know. But then
I will
it's
say,
a long season.
Yeah,
maybe Alabama will come
March
around.
Is
like,
far away and
March is
chance.
Far away. Yeah. So
Kentucky.
But it's been weird. I'm not saying that's set in stone. I'm just saying like the way it's progressed so far has been weird in that regard. We're like we're almost talking ourselves into. Are we talking ourselves into Alabama being good or is Alabama actually good?
Yep.
Is UCLA actually good? I don't know. I don't know. Who the hell knows?
If Chris Smith was healthy, I would.
Who
say
the hell
yes.
knows? Yeah. So anyway. I'm excited to be back in studio. This was
this is gonna be experience. Fun. Yeah, this feels like I was on the own deck circle and had a donut on my bat, and I just got in and I'm like,
we had to get our first one out of the way.
Yeah, it's nice. It feels like a breath of fresh air, relief, and let's do it.
All right, we'll be back on Friday. Thanks for listening. See you guys.